Good evening. Welcome again to Crossroad. We're so glad that you all are here and we get to worship our Lord together. We're going to do that. We're going to continue to worship Him through the studying of His Word together. So we look forward to doing that here. We've been in a series, as most of you know, on the Psalms. And so we're going to be continuing that series here today. The book of Psalms is basically a collection of poetry written by various authors, many of them written by David. And so one of our goals in going through the Psalms has been to look at the life of David and pull out some discipleship principles from his life through the Psalms. And so we're going to continue to try and do that here today. When you look at the book of Psalms, it might seem at first glance as if it's just kind of a random collection of poetry, just kind of thrown together with no reason for the order. But I tend to believe that there is a particular reason why the Psalms have been arranged the way they are, the order that it's been placed in. So there is meaning behind that, and we'll talk about that a little later. But today I want to talk about a psalm, and this is a psalm that without a doubt is the most well-known, the most quoted, the most memorized psalm of all the 150 psalms that we have. It's Psalm 23. And so I want for us to take a look at that here today. Most likely, even if you're new to the faith or just checking out Jesus for the first time, I'm sure even still you've heard some of the phrases in this psalm. So I want for us to take a look at this just very beloved psalm, a psalm that's been beloved throughout throughout church history. And so we'll take a look at that, and at the risk of going over a psalm that we've read so many times, the danger there is to kind of glance over it and think I already know everything there is to know about this psalm. But I want to ask you to kind of clear your minds of what you know already about the psalm and let the Lord speak to you afresh here today. So this psalm, Psalm 23, is written by David. And David, as many of you know, grew up as a boy, as a shepherd. And so surely he drew upon his life experience in writing this psalm. And so I think it's helpful for us to have kind of a picture in our minds of what shepherding looks like. And so, unfortunately, I'm not able to give you that picture. Some of you that know me know that I can't stand being around animals at all. So, you would be hard pressed to find me near sheep. So, I don't have any firsthand experience to share with you in regards to shepherding. But I do want to show you a video here of just kind of a shepherd sharing his experience of what shepherding looks like, and I think it speaks very well into some of these phrases that we see here in Psalm 23. So I apologize for the video quality on this, not so great, but I do think that it can teach us a lot about this psalm. So take a look at this.
I am a shepherd. I've always been a shepherd. I spend all my days here in the fields with my sheep near me. Some say it's a lonely life, but I'm used to it. I like it. I guide my sheep in many ways. They always need to rest on their journey, but sometimes they will not. They won't rest when they're hungry, so I always provide for them. They won't rest when they're afraid, so I protect them. And they won't rest when they're fighting or witnessing fighting among others of the flock, so I use my staff to direct them away from strife. When they know all is well, they will lie down in the pastures I lead them to and take the deep rest they require to restore their strength. I am a good shepherd. I always find them at least some sweet grass, whatever season we are in. When they're afraid, my sheep look to me. They know that I will never leave them. I protect them with this rod I made from a strong oak sapling I dug up long ago. It's been with me as long as I've been a shepherd. I embedded it with metal spikes to make it fierce so it would even be stronger against all the dangers that threaten my sheep. I've led them through tall grass, using the rod to sweep a clear path and frighten away any enemies. I am armed against all the enemies of my flock. Snakes, wolves, coyotes, and even a mountain lion that roams, looking for my sheep, wanting to tear them limb from limb and devour them. My sheep know the sight of this cudgel, and they trust it. I also carry a staff. With it I climb ahead and make sure the crevices and caves on our path are clear of rocks and other potentially harmful things. I also use it to reach the sheep farthest from me. I want them to feel my touch so that they know I'm near and be comforted by my presence. They need my staff to lead them, and I think they know that, even when I'm using it to wrap on their legs to direct them back into the flock. I often use the staff with the lambs to keep them with their ewes. They tend to stray before they know better, and more than once I've used the staff to save a sheep that was falling off a narrow path. I had to hook it deeply into the fallen sheep's wool. Oh, I'm sure it's painful, but I do it to save their lives when I have to. I seek out the best paths as we journey, but still, there are dark places we have to cross. I know some would say that sheep are foolish animals to be afraid when no danger can be seen, only shadows. But I've been with them so long, I feel what they feel. And I know their fears to be real. I've walked every step of this path myself. So I gather them close around me and we cross through the dark places together. I know each of my sheep, even when they're running from me. It may sound odd to one who's not familiar with this life, but I love my sheep. I would search to the edge of the desert to find one lost. I am a shepherd. I have always been a shepherd.
So great. I hope that's a helpful picture to keep in your mind as we read through Psalm 23. So keep in mind some of the things that he shared about what the life of a shepherd looks like as we read through the passage and study Psalm 23 here today. I think our great need here today is that, you know, if we don't understand God as our shepherd, if we don't interact with the care and concern that he has for us, we will give ourselves to a lesser shepherd, right? To one who is not the one to whom we belong. And so that's the danger. That's our need here today. A lesser shepherd could be anyone. A lesser shepherd that we submit ourselves to in place of Christ could be a great counselor, you know, a great spouse, a great friend that we entrust our hearts and our lives to. They're all good people and good things to do that, but they're not as good as the good shepherd, right? They are lesser shepherds. When we do that, when we entrust our lives and our hearts to anyone but Christ as our good shepherd, there is a danger there. Even worse is if we haven't found someone else to entrust our hearts and our lives to, and we entrust our hearts and our lives to ourselves, right? We protect ourselves, and we won't let anyone get close because we feel like we need to defend ourselves, right? You know, if we don't understand God as our shepherd, we miss out, I believe, on an incredible aspect of who God is. Do we know him as shepherd today? Right? Do we know him as shepherd, or are we living as sheep without a shepherd? Right? What do our lives resemble? To know God as shepherd is to know one who is trustworthy enough to handle the most broken of hearts. Right? To know God as shepherd is to know no one who can defend against the greatest of our enemies. Right? And so to know God as our shepherd means that we don't have to protect ourselves, that we have one who stands watch through the night to defend us and to protect us, that we don't have to search out for provision because we have one who provides for us, that we don't have to look out for the next step and be worried about what comes next in life because we have a great shepherd who has walked the path before us and knows what's ahead and knows how to guide us, right? So as we read through Psalm 23 and as we study this, I want you guys to keep this question in mind. what does the experience of the sheep look like, right? What do sheep experience as being part of God's flock? And is this your experience? As we read through this, kind of ask yourself, if this is what the flock of God, under the care and concern of God as shepherd, if this is what life like that is supposed to look like, is that my experience? Am I experiencing that right now, or am I giving myself to a lesser shepherd? Right. So we'll ask that question throughout the text. So let's just start from Psalm 23, verse 1, and we'll just read through the passage here. Six verses. I'll just read through it in one reading here. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading of his word. So just kind of going through this passage step by step, we look at the first phrase here, the first verse. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd. So David here is affirming God as shepherd, right? It's a common metaphor that we see throughout Scripture, and it refers ultimately to Christ. This picture of the shepherd refers ultimately to Jesus. You'll see in Isaiah there are messianic prophecies, particularly in Isaiah 40, verse 11. It speaks of this coming Messiah, and it refers to him as a shepherd, right? Then Jesus also identifies himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10, affirming his deity. He's also called the great shepherd in Hebrews and the chief shepherd in 1 Peter. But what I want to ask is, you know, when you look at this phrase, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, right? So do we know him as our own shepherd? It's one thing to know him, generally speaking, as the shepherd of all of us, but it's another thing to know him as my shepherd, that there's an intimate relationship there. So do you know him as your shepherd? He goes on to say, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the way that this is phrased, the meaning of that is literally, I have no lack. I have no lack. So it doesn't mean necessarily that I'll never want anything, but it means I have no lack of any proper care that the shepherd gives me. I have no lack of that which the shepherd determines is needed for me, right? And so all the phrases that come after this are examples of the things that we have no lack of, okay? And so all the rest of this psalm speaks to this idea that I shall not want. I have no lack. What is it that I have no lack of? It'll flesh that out in the remaining verses of this psalm. So verse two says this: He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So it's this idea of contentment, right? I think this was alluded to in the video, but it's very difficult to get sheep to lay down. Right, it's very difficult for them to lay down. They must be free from all fear. They must be free from friction within the flock. Friction sometimes arises between the sheep, and they must be free of all hunger. And when these conditions are met, then and only then will they lay down and rest. Right. And so only the shepherd can provide the relief from these anxieties. It's he who makes the sheep to lie down, right? See, sheep have a fear, a legitimate fear of predators that may come their way and attack. But that fear, interestingly, is dispelled in the presence of their shepherd. So when the shepherd is there and they know and sense the presence of their shepherd, those fears are dispelled, right? The friction that sometimes arises among sheep, there might be animosity between some sheep and some rivalry that goes on. But again, in the presence of the shepherd, when they know and sense that the shepherd is near them, they forget about the friction. How interesting that is for us, right? That as we know the presence of God in our lives, as His presence is made real to us, our fears are dispelled, right? The friction that potentially can arise among our body, it's forgotten about. When we keep our eyes on our shepherd, those things are laid to the side. Very, very interesting. It says, "He leads me beside still waters." Sheep, when they're thirsty, they become restless and they'll eventually go seek out water that's polluted. They'll seek out polluted water unless they're led to good, proper water. And so only the shepherd can lead them to the proper water that they need. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, when Jesus is speaking in the Sermon on the Mount, he says this, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Right? So this is the hunger and thirst that is needed. And this is a hunger and thirst that can only be quenched by God, right? Often we look to other things like the sheep do to satisfy us, but they only pollute our souls, right? Sometimes we look even to things that are good, but they just don't satisfy. Only Christ can satisfy our spiritual hunger. So sheep that lie down are full, they're satisfied, they're at peace. And they're content. They're completely content. Now, interestingly, this is contrasted by Matthew chapter 9 in verse 36 when Jesus is being described here and he says, the author of Matthew says this about Jesus. He says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." Very interesting. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So we have this picture that sheep without a shepherd are harassed and helpless. But sheep with a shepherd, with a good shepherd, are content and satisfied. Right? So I ask the question, think about that in your own lives. What does your life more resemble? Does your life more resemble sheep without a shepherd, being harassed and helpless, anxious all the time, worried, or discontent over a lot of things? Or on the other hand, does your life reflect a satisfaction? Does it reflect contentment in God? Something very interesting to think about. You know, I was thinking through this week, and just what are some examples of discontentment, potentially things that we might be discontented by. For some of you, it might be singlehood, right? You're in this stage of life where you're single and you think, man, I'm just not content with this stage of life. If only I had a spouse, then I would be content and I'd be happy. And a lot of this happens, different stages of life bring different seasons of discontentment often. So even when you move on to the next stage of life and you are married, you have that spouse and you expected to be content, all of a sudden you find yourself still discontent, right? And sometimes discontentment may come in this stage of life because, well, now that I'm married, I need children. I don't have children yet, so I feel discontent until I have these children. And then maybe you have children, and then even after that, you still don't feel completely content, and you think, you know, well, this job is just eating me up. It drains my energy. If I just had another job, then I would be content. And you name it. It can be a number of different things that we find ourselves discontented with, right? But to experience the life of a sheep with a good shepherd means to experience this sense of contentment with the Lord, right? So let's move on. Verse 3 says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So, he restores my soul. I was reading up on this this week about sheep, that sheep can sometimes become what's called cast. And when sheep are cast, that means they've flipped on their back. And so they're in this helpless situation. They can't get up on their own. Sometimes it could be their overcoat that is too heavy and burdens them down, and they end up falling, and they will become cast if they're on their back. But if a shepherd doesn't come to restore that cast sheep back to an upright position, it could die very easily. And so only the shepherd could come and restore this cast sheep. And so, you know, just made me think that if an earthly shepherd is faithful to restore a cast sheep, how much more faithful is our God, the shepherd, the creator of the universe, faithful to restore us when we are in times of need, right? He restores my soul. The greatest, I think, example of God's restoration, restoring us, takes place on the cross, right? That our lives are restored by Jesus because he gave his life for us, and we have restored, reconciled relationship to God now. We can have right standing before God because we have been restored. It goes on to say, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. See, if sheep are left to themselves, they'll travel along the wrong paths, ones that can be detrimental to them, infested with fleas, and they'll end up with diseases and things like that. So if left to themselves, sheep will travel along paths that will be harmful to them. Isaiah 53 kind of echoes this when it says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've gone our own way," right? And so though we do the same thing, right? Though we tend to go our own way, go in ways that potentially are harmful to us, the good news of the gospel is that we can have a restored relationship with God, right? A restored relationship with God, because Isaiah 53 goes on to say that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've gone to our own way. But God has laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all, right? It's amazing good news that we can have relationship with God because Jesus has died for us. And so he leads us in these paths of righteousness, so that we can have a right relationship with God, that we can have a restored relationship with God. What's interesting is it doesn't stop there, right? It says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, right? For his name's sake. God has not saved us because we did something. He's not saved us because we've been really good, right? It doesn't depend on us at all. In fact, he saved us for his name's sake. Verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, what's interesting is that we don't only have these mountaintop experiences. There are times where we have valley experiences, where we go through dark valleys, right? You know, just this week, I heard about friends of mine that I went to school with in Houston, that my friend's parents went on a cruise, and her dad had a heart attack in the middle of the cruise, and so was in a hospital in Panama for several days, and just the day before yesterday, he passed away in Panama. And so my friend and her sister had to go to Panama, and you know, they've got to collect the body and bring him back and go through all that. But you know, what a painful experience to go through, right? What a valley experience to go through. And you know, I don't have to convince you that we have valley times, because I know that many of us within our own body have gone through difficult times, right? Many of us have gone through these dark valley moments, right? But the question is, what do we do? How do we respond in those situations, right? As I was reading about this week, I was blown away by this just one fact, you know, factual information. And it's that valleys are where the grass is, right? The grass typically doesn't grow on the mountaintops. The grass grows in the valleys. You know, you can't survive on the mountaintops alone. You have to go down into the valleys for nourishment, to feed on the grass. So the shepherd knows that the sheep can't survive up there on the mountaintop, and will often lead the sheep down into the valley so that they can be fed, so that they can receive nourishment. And though it's a dark place to be, it can be scary. It's needed. The shepherd knows that it's needed, and the shepherd takes the sheep through those dark valleys, so that they can grow, so that they can be nourished. The same is true, right, of us, that the Lord takes us through these valley times, and it's in those moments that we are able to grow, that the Lord really transforms our lives, transforms our thinking, and changes us through these dark, difficult times. It's amazing. If you notice here, it's very interesting that David here switches from speaking about God to now speaking directly to God, right? Previously in the psalm, he had been saying, "He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." But now, all of a sudden, when faced with difficult times, when these valley experiences are in view, all of a sudden he switches to start speaking directly to God. Right? He could have very well said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for He is with me. For His rod and His staff, they comfort me." But no, he didn't say that. He said, "For you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me." Right? Often it's when we go through these difficult times that we sense a deeper, more intimate relationship with God, that it leads us into more intimacy with God. And so it prompts us to go from speaking just generically about God to speaking directly to God. It leads us into direct relationship with Him, that we need Him, that we need to communicate with Him. So he goes on to say, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me," right? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Both the rod and the staff of a shepherd is used for protection, right? It's used to protect the sheep. The rod is used to protect sheep from attacking animals that might come. Likewise, God comes to the defense, right, of His people when spiritual attacks may come. The staff is used to also protect the sheep. If you notice in the video, there's kind of a hook on the end of the staff, right? And so sometimes a sheep may fall into, some kind of a thicket down below. And the shepherd will use the staff and use the hook on the end of it to lift the sheep back into safety, to protect that sheep from the dangers down below. And so these symbols of a rod and a staff indicate the protection that God provides us, that God gives us during these dark times, during these valley times, during these difficult times. Protection, right? We have no lack of these things, right? We have no lack of contentment. We have no lack of restoration and righteousness. We have no lack of protection thus far. That is what the life of sheep look like. He goes on to say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. So David realizes here that even in these dark times, even in the presence of enemies, that God provides, right? God provides even in the midst of these difficult times. That imagery of a table being prepared is symbolic of provision, right? That God provides food, that God provides exactly what we need, even in these difficult times, right? Then he goes on to say, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So David realizes that the presence of God brings hope. That knowing God's intimate presence gives him a sense of hope. This word mercy in some of your Bibles may be translated as love, right? We know from Scripture that God is love, right? Our shepherd is love. And so because his presence is always with us, David can rightly say that love and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, because God is love, God is mercy, God is goodness, and because God is with me, I will experience those things all the days of my life, right? This is a hope that he experiences for eternity that even begins now, right? So, just a review of these things. What are the things that the sheep experience? The sheep of a good shepherd have no lack of these things, right? Have no lack of contentment, restoration and righteousness, protection, provision, and hope, right? Is that your experience? What does your life resemble more? Does your life resemble life with a good shepherd? Experiencing these things, do you experience contentment, or do you find yourself discontent in life? I found that complaining often is kind of a sign of our discontentment, right? When we complain about something, that man, I wish my boss was different. He's always on me for this or that. Or I wish, I just had a car that would drive better. Or I wish I, had a better house. I wish I just had this. And those ideas of complaining, I think, are a sign of our discontentment, that we're discontent with something. So when you find yourself complaining, think about that. What is it that I'm discontent with, and why am I not feeling the contentment that Jesus brings? Am I submitting myself to a lesser shepherd rather than Jesus as my shepherd, right? The idea of restoration and righteousness, is that your experience in the flock? Are you experiencing restoration and righteousness? Do you have a very real sense of the righteousness of Christ that clothes you? Or do you carry a sense of guilt? Do you carry a sense of guilt over your past, that God looks at me and he sees my failures? Or do you recognize that you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, And that what now when God looks at you, he doesn't see your failures, your mistakes, your sins. He sees the righteousness of Christ in you. Right? Protection. Do you have a sense of God's protection in your life, or do you feel like you need to protect yourself? Do you keep people at arm's length because you don't think that anyone there is to protect you, and I need to defend myself against people? I need to defend myself and protect myself, right? Provision. Do you live as sheep with the good shepherd, knowing that your needs will be met, or do you worry about just the provision of tomorrow, where it'll come from, when it'll come, how it will come? Are these the things that burden your heart? Hope. Do you have hope for the future? So I want you to think about those ideas. What does your life more typify? Does it resemble the life of sheep with a good shepherd, or does it resemble sheep without a shepherd? Right? Now, I found great comfort to realize that Psalm 23 finds its ultimate fulfillment in Christ. Right? Psalm 23 ultimately finds its fulfillment in Christ, that not only is he the good shepherd that this psalm speaks of, but the gospel tells us that the shepherd became a sheep. Right? The shepherd became a sheep. Not only is he our shepherd, but he is the sheep as well. He too experienced, like David, and like us, life under the care and provision of Jesus, of God as his shepherd. And so it's really interesting to note, and maybe you can do this later, read through Psalm 23 and imagine Jesus reading this, right? David was a prototype of Jesus to come. And so I think these words apply to Jesus as well. Jesus is both the good shepherd and the sheep. John chapter 1, John the Baptist says this when he sees Jesus. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God," right, "that takes away the sin of the world." Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17 says this, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So he is both our shepherd, and he became a sheep for us. He became the lamb to be slain on a cross for us. Right? That is the good news of the gospel. As I mentioned before, I believe there is intentional purpose for how the Psalms have been put together, the order that they've been placed in. And so it's really interesting to see Psalm 22, 23, and 24 in perspective. Right, and so I want to read for you a couple of verses from these three psalms to see the progression of Jesus as both a sheep and a shepherd. Right. So Psalm 22, verse 16 says, "For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and feet." That reminds us of Jesus on the cross, where his hands and feet were pierced. This psalm speaking ultimately of Jesus. Then in verse 31, "They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." That he has done it. That reminds us of Jesus on the cross saying, "It is finished." Right? It's finished. The work of the cross is done. Right? And then you move on to the next progression in Psalm 23. Again, picture Jesus saying this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Even though I go through death, the Lord is with me. I'll have no fear." Right? "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Right? And then that itself is pictured in Psalm 24. Where you have this idea of now the coming king who comes in glory. Verse 7 in Psalm 24, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So when you see this progression of the cross in Psalm 22, and this great shepherd in Psalm 23, and then this coming king in Psalm 24, it's amazing to see that progression of Jesus' life. And you come to realize that you have to know the cross before you can know the shepherd. Right? You have to know the cross before you can know the shepherd. And to know the shepherd is to know the coming king who will return for us and lead us into the gates of heaven. Right? Amazing. And so as I urge you to live under the care and provision, protection of Jesus as your good shepherd, you need to know that in order to do that, you need to know the cross first, right? You need to know that Christ has died for you, that though we like sheep have gone astray, God has laid on him the iniquity of us all, and that your sins can be forgiven by believing in Jesus, right? And if you have placed your faith in Jesus, now you can experience life with a good shepherd. That you don't have to continue living as sheep without a shepherd. You can live as sheep with a good shepherd, with one who provides for us, who protects us, who gives us contentment, right? Amazing. So we've been asking the question, right? Do our lives resemble the experience of sheep with the good shepherd? Or do they resemble a life as sheep without a shepherd? When your coworkers, when your friends, when your neighbors, when they look upon your life, what's the fruit that comes from your life? Are they seeing contentment in your life, or are they seeing discontentment in your life? What is being reflected in the way that you live? Sheep with a good shepherd, or sheep without a shepherd, or sheep with a lesser shepherd? Right. So our takeaway, at the risk of being overly simplistic, is just this: submit yourself to Jesus as your good shepherd. Submit yourself to Jesus as your good shepherd. I think that's important for us to understand and to know. You know, we've been trying to pull out principles of discipleship from the life of David through these Psalms. And I think this is important to remember and important to know, that we can tend to submit ourselves to a lesser shepherd, to shepherds that don't ultimately protect us and provide for us and satisfy us. But we ought to continually submit ourselves to Jesus as our good shepherd, so that we can experience these things, so our lives can reflect what life is like as sheep under the care and provision of a good shepherd. And this is not a one-time decision. You know, Jesus is the one that we follow. When we think about discipleship, we are disciples of Jesus. I know that's obvious. But he is the one that we are disciples of. He is the one that we are making disciples of. You know, often we can go and teach people the gospel, and we can teach them the things of the Lord and teach them about Christianity. But often what happens is we make disciples of ourselves, right? We make disciples that end up looking like me or looking like you, rather than making disciples that look like Jesus. Remember that he is the one. He is the one who is our leader. He is our shepherd. He is the one that we submit to. And so I want to ask you, as you've been thinking through this, thinking through what your lives look like, does it reflect, on one hand, life as sheep with a good shepherd, or life as sheep without a shepherd? Turn from from submitting yourself to lesser shepherds and turn to submitting your life, submitting yourself to Jesus as your good shepherd. In closing, I just want to read something that was written by a guy named David Powlison. He's a counselor at Westminster Seminary and the editor of the Journal of Biblical Counseling. And so in terms of, he wrote a series of articles in connection with counseling, but I think that this is incredibly helpful for us. He wrote what he calls, in the progression of writing these articles, he wrote what he calls the anti-Psalm 23. The anti-Psalm 23. And so this is what life looks like as sheep without a shepherd. We definitely took a look at what life looks like as sheep with a good shepherd, experiencing those things. But here's what life can look like as sheep without a shepherd. So I want to read this for you. And then after that, I'm going to read again Psalm 23, the true Psalm 23, and let that sink in. So he writes this as the anti-Psalm 23. I'm on my own. No one looks out for me or protects me. I experience a continual sense of need. Nothing's quite right. I'm always restless. I'm easily frustrated and often disappointed. It's a jungle. I feel overwhelmed. It's a desert. I'm thirsty. My soul feels broken, twisted, and stuck. I can't fix myself. I stumble down some dark paths. Still, I insist. I want to do what I want, when I want, how I want. But life's confusing. Why don't things ever really work out? I'm haunted by emptiness and futility, shadows of death. I fear the big hurt and final loss. Death is waiting for me at the end of every road, but I'd rather not think about that. I spend my life protecting myself. Bad things can happen. I find no lasting comfort. I'm all alone, facing everything that could hurt me. Are my friends really friends? Other people use me for their own ends. I can't really trust anyone. No one has my back. No one is really for me except me. And I'm so much all about me, sometimes it's sickening. I belong to no one except myself. My cup is never quite full enough. I'm left empty. Disappointment follows me all the days of my life. Will I just be obliterated into nothingness? Will I be alone forever, homeless, free falling into void? Sartre said, hell is other people. I have to add, hell is also myself. It's a living death, and then I die. Pretty powerful stuff, pretty gloomy stuff to think that this is what life can look like as sheep without a shepherd. But in light of that, I want you to hear the words of Psalm 23 again. I know you sensed the bitterness, the horrible nature of what I just read, but I want you to hear the sweetness of Psalm 23 in light of that. And consider, you have two options, right? Living life as sheep without a shepherd, the anti-Psalm 23, or living life under the care and provision of a good shepherd, right? So hear these words again from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace to us expressed in Christ. That he went to the cross on our behalf, that he became a sheep on our behalf. That he became the lamb that was slain on a cross so that we can know you, so that we can have relationship with you, so that we can experience life as sheep under the care and provision, protection of a good shepherd in Jesus. I pray you help us. Pray you help us to submit ourselves, to submit our hearts and our lives to Jesus as our good shepherd. And may our lives resemble, may our lives reflect the characteristics of sheep without a shepherd, or sheep with a good shepherd, that is. May our lives resemble contentment. May they resemble restored lives, covered in the righteousness of Christ. May they resemble lives that are protected, lives that receive provision, lives that hope in God. I pray you guide us. Be our shepherd. Help us, give us the strength to submit to Jesus as our good shepherd. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.